I love reading books, though, as a lot of us do. My wife doesn't, but she says I read the best book, and that's the Bible, which it is. Amen. Hallelujah. Before I start, I've just got a four-minute video, which is in line with what I want to share, which I believe God's put upon my heart, not just for me, for all of us, and for this year. I'm not saying this is Gro's vision or theme, but I believe it'll work in and flow in with what God wants to do with all of us this year. So thank you for just play the video. It only goes for 4 minutes.
Stop trying to live off of what God did last year, or 5 years ago, or however long it's been. A married couple that's still only talking about the honeymoon years into marriage has a problem. Because marriage is meant to get better and better. It's the same way with God. But when we begin to live our lives every day, slowly drawing further and further away from Him, all the while talking about what God did back then, or how close we were to Him at one time or another, we wind up parched, because you cannot live off of a feeling. And when you get into that impossible situation, a memory alone is not going to do you any good. You need God to be with you where you are. When the Israelites walked through the desert, God provided manna for them to eat. But one of the instructions that Moses gave the people was to not keep the manna overnight, but to let the old manna go in hopes of God providing new manna for the next day. Exodus 16, 19 through 20 says, Moses said to them, "Let no man leave any of it until morning." But they did not listen to Moses, and some left part of it until morning. And it bred worms and became foul, and Moses was angry with them. When the manna was kept overnight, it spoiled and became useless for eating. Do you want to know why the Israelites disobeyed Moses and didn't listen to the man of God? It's because manna falling from heaven is a miracle. The Israelites received a miracle from God, in that He fed them when they were hungry. But instead of letting go, they held on to that miracle because they failed to believe that He would perform a new miracle the next day. The reason we hold on to an experience with God from our past is because we fail to believe that He's going to do anything with our future. We spend time talking about what God did back then, when we should be spending time talking with God. Hebrews 3, 13 through 15 says, "But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts, as when they provoked me." It's so easy to live off of an experience with God and to forget that God wants to speak to us today. If you feel parched and your relationship with Jesus Christ has grown cold, then it's time to get up and to start running after Him like you did at the beginning. Do you know why God gave the Israelites new manna each day? It's because He promised to do so. And what He has promised us in Jeremiah 29:13 is this: "You will seek Me and find Me when you search for Me with all your heart." Stop trying to live off of yesterday and start seeking God right where you are, right now.
I think that's self-explanatory. I don't need to say anything. I will just pray before we start. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just thank you for this day. Thank you for the worship. For within worship, your glory comes. And the Spirit of God is able to move. And I thank you, Father. And Lord, as your word goes forth today, I, your servant, I humble myself. I decrease that you may increase, Holy Spirit, and that the word may go forth that's alive and breathing, and go deep into our marrows and our bones and encourage us this day, Father. You are the one that brings the anointing. You are the one who does the miracles, Holy Spirit. I am but a vessel, and I open my mouth as Ezekiel opened his mouth and speak forth in faith. And I thank you that the word will be received into people's heart, my brothers and sisters, that we may be encouraged this day for what you have to say to this church, this people, your people, this year in 2020. I thank you, Father. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would be preparing hearts even now and ministering to them as the word goes forth. In Jesus' name, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that communion message, Nicole. That's it's in line with what I want to talk about. And if we go to the next slide, my title, just go back to the previous one. Yeah, miracles are for today. They're not for the past. Okay? Who believes in miracles? I hope everybody put their hand up. It's the obvious. I'm a miracle. We're all miracles. That's better. But I just want to start out as we begin this new year, and this is not a pep talk. This is not just to razz you up. This is what I believe God wants to do. Our God is a miracle-working God. Okay? I believe in signs and wonders. I believe in gifts of healings. I believe in words of knowledge. I believe in impartation of the gifts by the Holy Spirit that he gives at his will. He wants to do that. And he wants to do that this day and for this year. Do we believe that?
Yes.
We're Pentecostals.
Yes.
We're all Pentecostals.
Yes.
If you look at the founding father, Leo Harris of the CRC, he was a mighty man of God. A mighty man of God who believed in the divine work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And the Holy Spirit wants this year, he wants to do a miracle in your life. He wants to do a miracle. Who really believes? Who wants a miracle today? Amen. Then he will give that miracle. Like he gave to Donna. That's a miracle, what's happening. I'm a miracle. If you knew my background, you'd shake your head. If I knew your background, I'd shake my head. But God is a miracle-working God. And that's what I want to declare, that in the year 2020, God is going to answer your prayers. He is going to bring forth the answers that you've been seeking and waiting on for many years, all of us. Because he's not the God of the past, he's the God of the present. Okay? Whatever happened last year, and the year before, and 5 years ago, and 10 years ago, praise God. Praise God. And we don't forget that. And we give thanks continually. But God wants us to look forward to this year. He wants us to look at 2020. Not that 2020 is any more special than 2019. It's not the year or the numbers that make it special. Okay? It's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in this season.
Amen.
This season. As Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, there is a time for sowing and reaping under heaven. There is a time for everything. And in this year, God, I believe, and I prophesy in faith, I prophesy under the unction of the Holy Spirit, that God will do miracles in all of your lives.
Amen.
If you'll only believe him. If you'll only believe him and just believe. I mean, the children of Israel, we all know this story. They walked around for 40 years. None of them had sickness. Their shoes never wore out. Their clothes never wore out. And God gave them manna every day. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. And that's what I want to say today. In Isaiah 43, if we go to the next slide. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. So I'm not making it up. God's saying, I'm going to do a new thing in your life and in my life. I'm believing for miracles this year in different areas of my life. It could be healing. It could be seeing loved ones. And also, the most important miracle is seeing people that we know in our family and our friends come to salvation. That is the greatest miracle. That's the greatest miracle. That God could save us. A broken cup. Stained. And every time you fill it, it just reeks out through the cracks. But God has mended that crack in me and in us. He's mended it. And the crack's no longer there. You can't even see it. And you saw in that cup, there's a crack. It's there. But the only way that crack can be erased is by the hand of God.
Amen.
And by the work of God through Jesus Christ. We are a walking miracle. So like I was saying, we need to forget what happened last week, last year, last decade, and look to this year. When you draw, I'll give you an example. And the reason I say that is this: when you drive a car, you're looking forward, aren't you? Now, this is obvious, all right? So you don't have to be a rocket scientist, okay? You're driving forward. You don't, when you're driving, you don't sit in reverse and watch everything pass you by as you're driving, okay? No, you look forward at what's coming towards you and interpret the driving conditions according to what you see, okay? So I'm driving my car and everything zoom, okay? Well, it's passed. You've missed it. God wants you to turn around and look forward and see what's coming before you and interpret the conditions, i.e. the season. He wants you to interpret and understand the seasons that are coming upon us and upon this church as a whole and upon the body of Christ, because God wants to do a mighty work, a mighty work. There will be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. There will be an outpouring of His glory in the end times. Jesus is returning, if we've forgotten. Oh, amen. Yeah. God is coming back, and I'm so looking forward to it. But I'm looking forward to the revival that's coming. So God this year wants you to look forward. Don't look to the past, okay? When you're driving, you don't look in your rear vision mirror all the time. Don't worry about the guy behind you who's honking and he's right up your bumper bar and everything. You look forward. You've got to look forward. You've got to be alert. Otherwise, you're going to miss what the Holy Spirit wants to do this year. You will. You'll miss it. And he says, sorry, it's gone. But God is so graceful. He brings us forward and he says, I want you to look forward to what the Holy Spirit wants to do. You see, in Isaiah 48:6, he says, you've heard these things, look at them. If we go to the next slide, sorry. You've heard these things, look at them. Will you not admit them? From now on, I will tell you new things, of hidden things known to you. Now, I know in Isaiah 48, the Old Testament, and God, through his prophets, was speaking to Israel about the fact that they were in captivity and everything. But there's also another application for us today, I believe, out of this, is that God, what God was talking about, he was saying that when Jesus come, he will speak of new things about the kingdom that have been, that were hidden. And then ultimately, when Jesus goes, the Holy Spirit will come. Today, these hidden things of the kingdom are being revealed through the Holy Spirit, are they not? And they were hidden from the prophets of old. And what God is saying there, well, haven't you heard these things now? You've got the New Testament. Look at them. Will you not admit them, that I am doing a new work this year? From now on, I'll tell you new things. And he does that through the Holy Spirit. And how's that confirmed? In 2 Corinthians 2, verse 9 to 10, which I don't have up there, it's written, no eye has seen and no ear has heard, nor entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed these things to us now, in this dispensation, through the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit teaches us all things, does he not? The deep things of God. And we know this because, if we go to slide 4, it says, very truly I say to you, whoever believes in me will do works that I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. Now that's interesting, isn't it? We know he returned and he now sits at the right-hand side of the Father. But what was the other thing that he asked? What did he say to the disciples? He said that, I'll ask a helper, I'll ask the advocate, I'll ask my Father to send the Holy Spirit, who will come and act as me and live and dwell in each of you. Whereas presently, it's only upon me and I am limited by this physical body. And that's why we will do greater works. That's why I believe in miracles, and that's why God wants to do miracles this year through us. We're all living miracles. And I've got here, yeah, that's what I'm saying. You and I are a walking, talking miracle. Think about it. We were once at enmity with God because of our sins. He then, out of love and compassion for his creation, he sends a Saviour to die for us, a perfect man without sin, no blemish or blot. He dies for us while we're still sinners, and then at the right time, he saves us. I mean, think about it. And then Even better, to top that off, he puts his spirit in us and then says that we'll do the same works and greater works than he did. Why? Because he sent the Holy Spirit from the Father. And finally, if that's not enough, right, this is the icing on the cake, he says, you'll now spend eternity with me, my Father, and the Holy Spirit. And if that's not a miracle, then I don't know what is. And that's why we are all miracles here, every one of us. We've been saved by the grace of God. It's not of our own doing. And I'll quite boldly say that it's not. I don't care what anybody says. I didn't wake up one morning and decide to get saved or realize that I'm a sinner. And if I did, in the very first place, the Holy Spirit convicted me. Why? Because it says in Ephesians chapter 6 that it is by grace you've been saved, not by works. Therefore, God gets the glory and not man. Okay? The glory goes upward, not downward to man. Okay? As John the Baptist said, I must decrease, that he increases. You see, we're from below, he's from above. Okay? And that's what you have to understand. And that's why we're miracles. But God wants to go further in that. Okay? He wants, through the Holy Spirit in us, he wants to use us now to be an extension of his Son Jesus. And to do that, he's given us the Holy Spirit. Okay? And this year, and every year, and every day, God wants to do a miracle through our lives in touching people. We're here for a hurting world. We're here for a dying world. We're here for a world that is fractured and has got cracks in it like that cup. And the only way that cup can be mended and erased is through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's through the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit in revealing the love of Jesus and the compassion of Jesus to people and giving them hope. People need hope. They need a hope. So, in slide, it goes, says, Jesus says, it's good that I go away because unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And here, we see in John 16:7, if we go to the next slide, sorry. This, I believe, is harking back to Isaiah 48:6, where God was saying that the work of the Holy Spirit, which was hidden in the Old Testament, would be revealed on the day of Pentecost to believers. And that's what's happened. So it's through the sending of the Spirit that the church would be enabled to do the work of God and worldwide, whereas Jesus singly was unable to do that because of the limitations of his physical body. And that's why he says that we'll do greater works. It's not that, I mean, some people say, well, how can we do anything more than raising the dead and everything like that? Well, that's right, you can't, okay? But because we are a body worldwide, locally, and the Spirit of God dwells within us, Jesus, his Spirit dwells within us through the Holy Spirit, we are able to do greater works because we're not limited by just one person going here, going there and everything. The Spirit moves freely. And that's the fantastic design of what the Father wanted to do, because the Father is into family. He loves family. He loves his creation. He loves us. And that's why he sent his Spirit to work through us to perform miracles. Yes, God will often do miracles on his own, but he likes and he wants to use his creation. He wants to use the human agent. He wants to use us. We're not robots. God wants to use us. He wants us to share the love, the compassion of God, to pray for people, to have words for them, to raise the dead. And I know of people who have raised the dead. You might even know it too. There are people here that have been saved a lot longer than me. I've been a follower of Christ for over 35 years, and I've seen many things, and all of us have. All of us have seen. There are a lot of saints here who have been believers longer than me who have seen many things, wondrous things, who have prayed for people, no doubt, and seen healing, given words of prophecy, words of knowledge, encouraged people, loved people. They're all miracles and have led people to the Lord, which I say is the greatest. It's the greatest miracle. It's the greatest because it's built on love. I know that all of us believe in miracles, but a lot of us struggle with the thought that God could use me or us to perform a sign and wonder or a miracle or God, I'll just leave that to the leadership. I'll just leave that to the senior pastors. But God wants to use us to display his glory and his power and love to people who don't know him. And he wants to use us. And that's what he wants to do in 2020. That's what we're here for. We're not here to feather our own nest. We're not. We're not here to feather our own nest. You can lay all the golden eggs you want to. Well, that's not going to impress God. You can have all the knowledge in the world. That's not going to impress God. And it's not going to impress people. Because knowledge just puffs up. Just puffs you up. God wants servants who are humble and have a contrite heart and are open to being used. And he will raise you up to be mighty men and women of God. And he will. And he will bless you. Our Father blesses us. And we are blessed because we have our Father as our Father who art in heaven. And he has raised up people who are very successful. There are, I don't know all a lot of your backgrounds. You don't know anything about me. But we love each other. We're brothers and sisters. And God has done so many different things. I've talked with Pastor Felix here and his wife and the ministry and work they've done overseas. It astounds me. And Pastor John and Pastor Pat, who are not here, but you know, they're in their 80s and they're still serving. You know, I'm not into retirement. God's not into retirement. He's not retiring sitting back in a chair with a pipe and slippers. No, God, our God's at work. He doesn't stop. Pastor Andrew, been a pastor for many years and everything. And look what God's doing in his life. He's opened up new doors and he's going forth in the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit. And God has good things for him. And they're inspirations. God is into success. But he's also into miracles. And he wants to use his people this year to touch people who don't know our living God, who've never had a miracle, who are hurting and downtrodden. And that's what he wants to do in us this year. I believe in miracles. I've always believed in miracles. And what I believe in, when I say miracles, that might sound very broad, and you might say, "Well, what do you mean, Lindsay?" I mean signs and wonders. The Holy Spirit dispenses gifts as he wills, as he wants to. We don't get to pick and choose. He raises up pastors, preachers, prophets, evangelists, apostles, and he's got other gifts that he gives out for words of knowledge, prophecy, praying over people, casting out demons, everything. Words of knowledge, interpretation of tongues. Yeah, amen. I get one amen. Us Pentecostals should really be thriving on them, shouldn't we? Yes, we should. Because God wants to speak to us. He's a spirit. He wants to speak through the Holy Spirit. That's the only way he can speak to us, through his word, which is living and alive. Okay? That's how he wants to do it. C.S. Lewis said in his book, a really good book to read, Miracles, he said the supernatural realm is not remote and obscure, in other words, hidden away, but it's a matter of daily and hourly experience and intimate as breathing. It is. I know it is, because I don't stop to think about breathing. Do you stop to make sure you're breathing? No, of course not. It comes naturally. And it's the same with miracles. Throughout Jesus' life, they were a daily event. Why? Because he walked according to the Spirit and only did what he heard his Father say and do. And that's the key for wanting God to work through us. If you're wanting God to work through you and see his glory manifest and touch people, and you want to be an influencer in the spirit realm, I'm not talking out in the world, but yes, you will touch the world then, yes. Then you need to yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. You need to yield. You need to die to yourself, your own ambitions and everything, and walk in accordance with the Holy Spirit. And you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh. You won't want them because you'll just want more of God. You want more of him. And that's the key, is obedience. Jesus only ever did what he heard his Father say and do. We only want to do what we hear the Holy Spirit say and do. And we know that what the Holy Spirit tells us to do and say is right, and it's from him because it's from Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit, whatever he does, it glorifies Jesus. He does not elevate himself. He only does and sees what Jesus said to do He brings to our remembrance. So you and I are a walking, talking miracle. And we can do greater works of miracles. But like that video said, if you will seek God with your whole heart, if you will seek him with your whole heart and everything, every fibre of your being, then you will find him. But if you're just giving him here and there and occasionally and pick up the word occasionally and then at the last minute something happens and, oh, God, I need you, I need you. God in his grace, yes, will meet you. But he wants more than that. He doesn't want the tidbits. He wants the full loaf of bread. He wants the full loaf, not just the crust at each end. Okay? He wants the full loaf. He wants all of us because he's a jealous God. And that's what he wants to do. So I encourage you for this year, 2020, which is 2020 vision. Okay? But I believe it'll be a year of miracles. I believe it'll be a year of fulfillment and an answer to many prayers that you've been praying for. Why? Because God is a God who keeps his promise. He is not a man that he should lie. If he says that he'll do it and he'll bring it to pass, like we saw in the beginning, he will do it. And we have to believe him, no matter what you've been through. And there are people here that have been through a lot more heartache than I have been through. But each person's hurt is relative to what they're going through. And it's real to them. And God meets you at that. And he wants to encourage you to rise up above that, to rise up in this year of 2020. And I look forward to what Pastor Chris is bringing and what the Holy Spirit has given him for this church, for this theme. And I know that this will complement what is being said, because God wants to do miracles. Don't ever let the devil tell you that the days of miracles are over. Don't ever let the devil tell you that signs and wonders just don't happen anymore. That's rubbish and it's a lie. And you're giving power to a liar to tell you a lie. Okay? You may not get healing straight away. You may not get an answer to prayer straight away. But it will come. It will come. The children of Israel did enter the promised land. Yes, because they're disobedient, but they entered it. God will fulfill his word. He will. And he'll do it this year. And I've talked to Pastor Noel and a few others, and Pastor Mick and others, and saying that I believe in the work of the Holy Spirit. I believe in miracles. And I'm talking about it all the time. Because according to the confession of your mouth, that's what will happen. Amen? Amen. Your confession is so important. There is life and death in the tongue. I want you to speak life. I want you to speak life, brothers and sisters. I love you all. I want to see you going on in God in 2020 in a strong manner and in the glory of the Lord. So let's believe this year for miracles in our lives and in the lives of others, that we can be an extension of the Holy Spirit to touch people with the love of God and see God in action. And that encourages us then. And it builds our faith up to believe that, yes, God, you can use me. My, it's not just the leaders or the pastors or the super pastors or whatever. You can just use lowly me, your servant. And God says, that's right. I used 12 fishermen. None of them were educated. None of them. I'm not educated. I'm just a servant. I'm just someone who wants to serve God and love him and encourage people to go for God. And I encourage you this year. And I know you do. I know your hearts. You love God. And you want to serve him. And you want to see God move in your families. And he will. And finally, I just finished with Galatians 6:9. It says, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. And that's what I want to say. Don't give up. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on the miracle you've been waiting for. Don't give up. Hang on to God and do not let go. Be like the woman who just would not give up and came through the crowd and grabbed hold of Jesus' hem and would not let go. And Jesus says, "Who touched me? Who cried out for a miracle? Who cried out for a miracle?" And that lowly woman stood up. And he says, "Daughter, you are healed. Go. Go in the peace of God." Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the word today, Lord, that you are doing a new thing in our lives through the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that your desire is to do miracles. It is a desire to do miracles in our lives and through our lives in this year. And Father, I pray, Lord God, that you would encourage us as your people and as your servants, Lord, that you would just anoint us all afresh. You would encourage us, Lord, that your zeal would consume us, Lord. Lord, that you would stir up the living waters within us, Lord, and that we would be an influencer in our lives to people, Lord. And may you allow us to touch people and share the miracle of Jesus to people, the miracle of healing to people, the miracle of love and compassion. Father, I thank you. And Lord, if anybody here, and I know we all want miracles, Lord, we're all seeking miracles, Lord God, through you. And you are the great miracle working God. It is by you, Father, by your mighty outstretched arm, through us your servants, that you will perform these signs and wonders and bring these things to pass in our midst. And I thank you, Lord. And we will stand back and marvel and say it is marvelous in our sight what our Lord God has done. We love you, Father. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. I just ask if there's anybody here who wants prayer, who wants a miracle. If you want specific prayer, you come over to the side. But if you just want to stand now and say, "Lord, I want a miracle today. I want a miracle in 2020 to see my family members saved. I want a miracle for healing. I want a miracle in being able to find a new job, in a miracle in being able to serve you in a greater measure, in being that man, that woman of God that you've called me to many, many years ago. And it's lie dormant, the gifts you've given me. Father God, I pray that you will just stir us up. If that's what your calling is in your heart, if that's what you want, then I ask you to stand. I ask you to stand. You don't have to. If you don't want a miracle, then don't stand. I hope you would all stand. Our Father wants to bless his children. He wants to bless you with the heavenly manna of the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you. Father God, I thank you for all my brothers and sisters that are standing here. Lord, you see their hearts. I don't see them. You know the innermost secrets of their hearts. You know their desires, their plans, their wants, everything. Their greatest desire, Lord, is to see you work through their lives. Their greatest desire is to see a miracle happen in their life and through their life. And Father, according to the confession of their faith, as they speak forth the miracle, Father God, I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would confirm it to them even now, if it's for healing, salvation, whatever it may be, to be used in a greater measure, to be raised up, to be a prophet. I pray in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, that you would bring these things to pass in my brothers and sisters, in all of our lives, for the glory, for your glory, for the glory of Jesus. And that this church would be a flaming ember in this place, Lord. Lord, seal it now, Father God. These are not empty words. Your people stand before you at the altar in faith. And Father, they declare before you, Father, I ask for a miracle this year. However long it takes, I will hang on to you, Father. I will hang on to the hem of your garment until you say, "Yes, sister. Yes, daughter. Yes, son. So be it. Amen." Receive it now by faith. Amen. Thank you.